Welcome to the Debbie Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Network. I'm your host, Skip Newton. With me is my co-host, Matt Cooper. Matt, how are you doing on this fine Wednesday evening?
I'm doing wonderful. I was actually just looking this afternoon at flights to go to the Expo for the first time this year, so pretty excited about that. And excited about our special guest tonight.
Speaking of the Expo and people that are usually there, yeah, we have a special guest, as you indicated, Mr. Dwight Peebles. Dwight, welcome back, man.
What's up, guys?
To hear your voice. Love it.
Matt, Cooper's like a giant, man. You're like, your head is like positioned way over ours, and you feel like a giant right now. Yeah, definitely make the Expo. Now we just got to get Skip down there. Gosh,
One of these years, I will make my way. But I did hear that Matt, you're a pretty tall guy, and I think Hicks is a pretty tall guy, and John Lobb is a really tall, big guy. So it's huge, I'd feel like a minor little dude. I'm only like 5'10 and a half or whatever, maybe 5'11 in shoes. But
no, that's 95% of us there. So you're good.
I wouldn't have pictured Hicks as tall. I don't know why.
I don't think he is. Yeah. I remember.
Oh, right? I thought I heard he was like 6'1", 6'2", but I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't need to get into the statistical analysis.
Sorry, Hicks, is that offensive that I wouldn't have pictured you as tall?
I don't think so.
I met my co-host of my other podcast, Matt Jackson, in person finally, and I was like shocked that he was like as tall as I was. He's 6'3". I was like, I would never have pictured that you were 6'3", but there he was.
Yeah, I heard that too. So I wouldn't obviously be surprised, but I haven't met a whole lot of the people that I've talked to over podcasts, except for Brian Shikochis. I did meet him last August in Boston, and that was a real treat. It was good to meet him in person. But anyway, we should probably get into the topic of the show.
Time to argue. Let's go.
Yes, let's do this. We're going to talk about rookies that we are loving and guys that we are likely fading. So our faves and our fades, or as I said before, guys that we are likely to have many shares of or guys that we will have none of. But first, I need to mention the joke of the day. This one's for you, Dwight. Did you know, of course, that 70% of the earth is covered in water and none of that water is carbonated? So therefore, the earth is indeed flat.
Huh. I thought it was 70% of the earth is covered in the water. The other 30% was covered by Darrell Revis. That's what I
thought. Ah, yes. That's what Fred Smoot said when he joined the Vikings way back.
Yeah, I knew there was somebody who said something like that. Yeah.
All right, everyone. Of course, it is draft season. We know it's coming. We are 15 days away from round one as of recording here on April 10th. One day away from my birthday, by the way. But anyway, get ahead of your league mates with in-depth and consistently updated rookie rankings, supporting Dynasty and Debbie rankings, the 2024 rookie guide, and access to the RBB Discord, where you can get personalized trade, draft, and roster construction advice. The Rookie Big Board is a proven resource that was way ahead of everyone else on Justin Jefferson, identified Puka Nacua as the best sleeper prospect of 2023, and helped patrons get great fantasy football value on Justin Herbert, CeeDee Lamb, Chris Olave, Sam Laporta, and many more. You can get access to Rookie Big Board resources for as low as $5 a month, or save 15% with an annual subscription. That is cheaper than the cost to enroll Ryan Searfrost in a geography class, because apparently he feels that there is oceanfront property in Pennsylvania. If you guys missed that podcast, that was laugh out loud funny. Like, not just the LOL where you say it, but literally, I'm glad I wasn't drinking something when that went down, because I would have spit water out of my mouth. Oh, good times. All right, let's get into the faves, the guys that we really enjoy, that we like, that we have lots of shares of. We'll start at quarterback and just go one by one down the list. Matt, who do you have first?
Yeah, I mean, this was an interesting question for me, because I like Daniels a lot. I think partially I like him because we were early on him. I remember as a podcast during the college season, before anybody was talking about Daniels as a Heisman winner or a potential first round pick, we were saying buy Daniels and Debbie. And you actually did, if I recall correctly, Skip, you sent like Gus Edwards straight up or something ridiculous.
Yes,
like
I did.
That, and you got it done. So that feels good, just that we were early on him. And obviously, I think the ceiling is tremendous from a fantasy perspective with the rushing upside, and the draft capital is expected to be there. So he feels very safe to me. And as far as all the guys after Caleb, Daniels to me feels like the guy that I would feel the most comfortable drafting.
I like that. I love him too. I love the upside, but I am going to skip ahead down below just to stay on the topic of this particular player. Dwight, you have Jaden Daniels as a guy that you're concerned about. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm just overall worried about his production in college. And obviously the size is a little bit of an issue. Typically a running quarterback, we'd like to see have a little bit more meat on the bones. And I didn't see him create a lot on the run, which I would have liked to have seen a little, like as far as running. He obviously could, I mean, he did create as a runner, but not as a passer. And obviously he was thrown to very talented wide receivers. So I kind of like to see him, how he does in an NFL offense where he's got to learn to anticipate, read defenses, things like that. And as far as like a fade, everything on my list is just based on cost. Mm-hmm. If you're telling me I got to take him at the third pick, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not. If he falls to the sixth pick in my rookie draft, hell yeah, I'm taking him. You know, so it's just a matter of, I don't see him as one of the top two or three picks right now. And obviously I'm a little worried about where he lands in the NFL too. I think he can go anywhere from pick two to pick 20. I mean, you see so many differing opinions and projections as to where he can go. So I'm just a little more tepid on him than a lot of people are.
So. All right. That's fair. So you're fading him at his cost. Who are you really looking to add at the quarterback position then?
You see, and this is going to feed into Matt's. I am just sick and damn tired of the Drake May. Like I'm just, it's almost like, I think somebody posted prospect fatigue, and it definitely feels like it with him. I think he does have the second most talent out of all the quarterbacks. He's got some issues, obviously. There are things that he will have to work on. Some of the same things that Daniels worked on, you know, that I think Daniels, as far as like learning how to read NFL defenses, learning how to anticipate things like that. The weapons that he had at North Carolina this last season were abysmal, and he was trying to do too much. He was playing hero ball, forcing too much. But I just think the arm talent's there. I think he's got, you know, a pretty safe upside, I think. I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. Whether he is a top three or four, I don't know right now. But I think he's going to be one of those top 10 guys that just hangs around for a long time. So.
All right. Now, Matt, back to you.
I guess we're just, me and Dwight are just having a quarterback debate tonight. I don't strongly dislike May by any stretch of the imagination. I do think it's a fine line between prospect fatigue versus these Devy guys that we have overhyped for years. And then we finally get access to the All-22 tape and everybody starts looking at it and going, oh, wow, there's some flaws here. And so I was pointing out these flaws from Drake May during the season on this podcast that, like, man, there's the footwork is all over the place. The accuracy is all over the place. The decision-making sometimes is just straight up boneheaded. Like, everybody has been raving about the pros for this guy for years and totally ignoring the cons. And then now it seems like the community is finally starting to dig into the tape and say, like, oh yeah, there's some flaws here. And so for me, had Drake May been the consensus 102 like he's been for years now, I would have been fading the heck out of him. Now that the cost has dropped down and it's seeming like maybe there's a shot I could get him at 106 or 107, now I could actually maybe see myself drafting some shares of him because the upside is absolutely there. The draft capital is definitely going to be there. I think he has a potential to be a real big difference maker at a premium position in fantasy. So I'm not uninterested in May at all. And I'm actually encouraged that the cost has kind of gone down and people are being a little bit more realistic about him now. So yeah, I wouldn't say that I'm fading him, but if he's, like you said, Dwight, with the cost, like if he's at 102, 103, that's where I'm like, I'm just not doing it. So I guess we're just kind of flip-flopped on that. You're like, yeah, I would take Daniels at 106, 107. And I'm like, I would take Daniels at 102, 103. So we're just kind of flip-flopped on those two guys, it seems like.
Yeah, both those guys, the landing spot's going to be so critical too.
That's right.
I mean, there's a couple teams that are looking for quarterbacks that are just not very fantasy gold mines or anything. So either of them have a chance to land in really bad situations. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. And I like how you both brought up the at the cost or what pick it would take mm-hmm. to get the player. Because that's a big part of this conversation, right? If a guy falls far enough, then it becomes less risky and you're more willing to take that shot. And the funny thing, if he does fall, you know, Drake May to, you know, 106, 107 or later somehow for whatever reason, then the Justin Herbert comps will be in full fledged because they're already there. People seem to love that comp. But I remember Herbert falling a lot in the first round of his rookie draft. So that'll just continue. Yeah. We're gonna keep going and just we might as well just finish off quarterback. Maybe we'll go by position instead. So we've nailed those two guys. Dwight, you had a dark horse, and mine is more of that as well. But who do you have as that dark horse candidate? Because I think he's a very likable player, and he's one of those guys that I legit want to see succeed.
Right, yeah, Michael Pratt, the old Tulane starter. Just I think he's got the chance. He's got enough tools and enough to work with that he could stick around the NFL for a little while, maybe possibly get a starter job someday down the road. I don't ever expect him to, like, you know, win a job and be like a QB1 for any amount of time or anything. But I love Pratt, a guy who's just a proven winner. He has good footwork in the pocket, pretty good arm. He throws with touch, anticipation, very smart, takes care of the ball. Just a really solid, good quarterback that I'd love to have as my backup. I mean, and nowadays we're finding that there are lots of times where a guy like Jake Browning, you know, Pratt could be in the same situation someday where he's winning you a league down the stretch. So he's a guy I'm definitely stashing. So.
Yeah. I liked watching him. He's a tough, tough kid, right? He can take a hit and keep playing. So, and he's got some skill. There's no doubt about that. There's some definite upside there. My guy was a lot in that same regard. I put Spencer Rattler as a guy that I could see myself getting a few shares of, but that again, all depends on where in my draft. I'm not looking for him, you know, early to mid second round, probably not even late second round, but that obviously depends on landing spot, draft capital. It has to be the right situation. Get to a third round of a super flex league, and he's the kind of guy I could see myself taking a couple stabs at just because I still like the talent. And part of his issue was when he was younger, he clearly was full of himself, didn't have the right attitude, had a whole bunch of problems there. From what I understand, that's all been kind of matured out of him, and that he's eaten a big piece of that humble pie, and he's starting to say, you know, the right things. And it sounds like he's got his head on straight. So if that's something that he can do as a quarterback, you know, a guy maturing, you know, he had to switch colleges. Maybe he's mature enough to pick up an NFL offense and realize that a talent he had. Again, sticking with quarterback, I'm gonna go to guys that I'm pretty sure I will have zero shares of. One, I know for sure. I already mentioned him last week. I will not have Bo Nix anywhere on any of my rosters. I just don't think he's an NFL quarterback. I don't even think I will have tons more Michael Pratt than Bo Nix. Penix, I think everyone else is gonna like him more than me. So I can see myself fading Penix as well. The one thing that I've done well over the years, I was thinking about this today in Dynasty, when I pick quarterbacks to fade, I usually don't regret it. I just, for some reason, that seems to be the one thing I actually can get right consistently. I mean, we all hit and miss here and there, but you know, there are quarterbacks where I'm just like, I want no shares. I mean, even guys that go high, you know, Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, those kinds of guys. And it just always has worked out. It hasn't cost me yet. So now that I've made that public, I'll fade Penix and he'll be a star. Or he'll end up on the Vikings and now I'll have to change my position because I've already said the Vikings are the best landing spot for a rookie. So
it's true.
Yeah, I think either of those guys could possibly succeed, but it would take like the absolute perfect offense, the perfect situation, the perfect coordinator that can tailor to their strengths. But that's so hard to do these days. So, yeah.
All right, let's pivot over to running back. We'll just, again, stick with that position. Matt, starting with you, who are some guys that you really like?
Yeah, so I'll just start off by saying my top three guys as far as my film grades right now. It's number one is Jonathan Brooks. Number two is Bucky Irving. And number three is Marshawn Lloyd. And so depending on, you know, where they fall to in the draft and all that kind of stuff, those are three guys that I would feel really excited about that look like difference makers to me. And one kind of sleeper for me is Isaiah Davis, playing from, I guess, South Dakota State, I believe is where he played. Yep. So, I mean, I was pretty surprised when I dug into the All 22 on him. It was kind of like deep when you're like, man, I've done like 20 running backs and I'm so in the weeds and, you know, none of these guys are relevant. Why am I even studying these guys? And then I got to Isaiah Davis and it was like, oh, wow. Like, for 218 pounds, he's got some really quick feet. He can make people miss in the hole. He's got the highest contact balance grade in the class for me. So I'm not saying he's going to be a star. He's probably a day three pick, but he's a guy that, you know, I'll be definitely interested in clicking draft if he's there in the fourth round, which I think he will be in a lot of cases. And then Bucky, I know you're going to talk about Bucky Skip, but right now at third round in mock draft ADPs is just absolutely stealing candy from babies. Like if that holds and Bucky Irving is going in the third round of rookie drafts, I'm going to have like almost 100% exposure. So.
All right. I like that. I'm just looking through the sheet here at the other running backs on the list. And we're just going to go right to yours, Dwight. I didn't put him on my list because you did, but I like him too. Who do you got?
Yeah, my top three is Ray Davis, Ray Davis, and Ray Davis. So I actually have started, I thought about starting a Twitter account called Ray Davis Fantasy Receipt so I can come back and punk all your happy asses. Oh, wait, was that out loud? I love Ray Davis, man. This is one of those guys that I honestly went into when we started breaking down film for this class, you know, not really expecting to like, and I absolutely love his tape. I mean, there's some guys you just watch and they look like they're just so much better than what they are, you know. Like, it's just, I know he doesn't have the breakaway speed, you know, that's always going to be the big thing you hear with him, but I think he's got enough athleticism. You watch the tape, it's just constant contact balance, vision, breaking tackles, creating on his own. I just think he can really do it all. He can catch passes. I just am actually infatuated with the way he runs, and I think that, you know, it's obviously he's unfortunately going to be one of those draft capital guys. If he goes in the fifth round, I don't love Ray Davis as much. Sorry, Ray, I love you, but bye-bye.
And on top of it, I mean, he's going to be 25 years old as a rookie.
Yeah, he's a little
probably
older,
my biggest concern, you know, from a dynasty perspective, that he's like that close to the age cliff already coming in as a rookie, potential day three pick. That's just
also
hard.
He needs 3 years. Come on.
But I do like the tape. I'm with you on that. Yeah. Right. I liked a lot of what I saw on tape from him.
Yeah, I was super impressed. And his usage wasn't quite as bad. So, I mean, he may be 25. I think he's got some meat on the bone there still. So
My Ray Davis story is from a rookie / Debbie draft that I was in the last time, you know, a week ago when we recorded. And it comes up to my pick. And I don't even remember what round. But Ray Davis was listed as one of the available rookies. And it's a deep Devy league, like 200 deep. So not a lot of people there. So I draft Ray Davis. Well, then all of a sudden in the chat, the commish gets on there. And is like, Ray Davis is already taken. I'm like, he is. He's like, yeah, he was actually a Devy player, but he was listed as a Devy player as Ramon Davis. I didn't realize that it was the same person. The best part was Ramon Davis was on my roster as a Devy player. So I already had him. And the commish found that, he goes, so basically you had a napkin that said Ray Davis no matter what.
That's hilarious.
But mentioned Matt. I like Bucky Irving too. I'm not afraid of the combine that was, you know, maybe questionable as far as
it was
not
awful.
Showing his athleticism. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to expand anymore. If anything, it lowers his value a little bit. Exactly. We've seen that not be a problem with certain guys. So I'm okay to, again, he falls a third round, I'll take that shot. I'm with you, but let's get into the fades, because you guys both have the same player on here, and man, you guys are getting me all worried about about Jalen Wright, because I'm hearing some people love him. I'm hearing some people like you guys hate him. Tell me about the Jalen Wright hate.
Well, he's all right, but he's not RB1. And I get so sick and tired of hearing that. You know, I've seen mock drafts where he's the first running back taken. And I just, that's just the price. Once again, it boils down to price. And he's got speed. You know, he's got, his athleticism is definitely enticing, but I just don't like the lack of production at the college level. I don't think he's able to create on his own. I just, there's not enough that I see that makes me think he's RB1. He's definitely sort of an enticing prospect, and if I can get him in the third or fourth round of my rookie drafts, sure, why not? But not RB1, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's not in my top five. I think he's really overrated because this class is a little bit weaker, and there's not that many guys that are explosive and that you do get excited watching the tape. And there's some highlights there, you know, like Tennessee had this Mickey Mouse offense where everything's super spread out and he's facing light boxes at an unreal rate. And he's breaking off like these holes the size of a Mack truck that he just has to run in a straight line and right. He's gone. And everybody's like, wow, he's so fast. But I don't think there's a lot of power element to his game. I think his vision's pretty questionable. He did nothing as a receiver. So to me, I don't see a whole lot more than just a straight line fast guy. A little bit of like at the line of scrimmage, he can make some powerful jump cuts, but once he gets up to speed, he's out of control of that speed. So he's not elusive on the second level, doesn't change directions well on the second level at all. So I just see a lot of flaws in his game that I don't see a lot of people talking about. And I'm very confident that I'm going to have no shares at the prices that I've seen him going at.
All right. That's interesting. Yep. I still got to look for myself now because like I said, I'm hearing all these people with polar opposites and it's got me confused. I'm befuddled. I don't know which way to go. However, know which way to go on the next guy you're going to fade, Matt, because I share him as well. This is maybe a good time for Matt Hicks to fast forward with the 30-second button a couple of times, but who are you fading at running back?
Well, first of all, I'm lukewarm on Trey Benson. I'm seeing some people say RB1 for him as well. He's my fourth running back. I don't hate him, but I'm probably not going to have a lot of shares at the prices that I'm seeing him go at after the combine. But I think the guy that you're referring to that Matt Hicks wants to fast forward through is Braylon Allen. I mean, y'all know if you've been listening to the show, I just don't see it at all. He is slow. He doesn't play as powerful as his size indicates that he should. He's an upright runner. He's absolutely horrendous in pass protection. He's like tied for the worst pass protection along with Bucky Irving, who's like half his size. Like he should be standing up guys on the blitz and he just gets totally run through. His form as a pass protector is terrible. I mean, he doesn't have a lot of receiving upside. Even this year when they tried to like do the square peg into a round hole thing and throw him some passes, he just looked like a fish out of water. He was not comfortable doing it. That's evidenced in like the yards per catch because he got a volume of receptions, but he wasn't able to do anything with them. He's not good at turning up field and getting yards after the catch. So, I mean, he's not elusive. I don't see really any high level NFL traits there to hang your hat on. And I don't think the draft capital is going to be there either. I think Devy people that have been excited about him are going to be surprised when he goes on day three. And he reminds me of Isaiah Spiller. He reminds me of Isaiah Spiller. Devy people didn't want to let go of Isaiah Spiller. He goes day three, and people are like, but he's with the Chargers. That's at least a good landing spot. And so people are still drafting. He went in the second round of rookie drafts, Isaiah Spiller, as a day three pick because people just could not let go. And, you know, and now he's totally irrelevant. And I think Braylon Allen is going to be too. So, sorry.
That's all right. I did miss a guy earlier, Dwight, on your list, the argument that needed to happen. I apologize for that. Matt earlier said that he was high on Jonathan Brooks. You disagree. Tell us why.
I just don't see a lot of creativity in his game. I mean, it's something that may come with time. I realize he doesn't have a lot of reps, a lot of. I mean, he only had a little bit under 250 college carries. I just didn't see the ability to you know, to create on his own, to be able to set up blockers, you know, the vision to, I just saw him, it felt like he played at one speed. Often it worked. I mean, if it works, I guess keep doing it. But I just didn't think he was overly, he didn't wow me at all. And I thought the same thing when I saw Roschon Johnson and everybody fell in love with him. I know it's helmet scouting a little bit, but I just don't see, I don't see enough. I just, and another guy who's sometimes called RB1, and just no. See, yeah, I rather would take a shot on Benson. Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather have Benson every day of the week at his cost.
I mean, there's a lot of these guys that get called RB1 because there's no consensus because it's a wide open class. He's my RB1. But
it's a wide open and not very talented class. I mean, there's nobody that excites you, right? Like
Ray Davis. Anyway,
well, let's go. Ray Davis, but okay. 25-year-old Ray Davis. All right. I think I'm that's good too. For running backs. We will discuss wide receivers in just a minute. But first, I want to make sure you know that the Rookie Big Board is now partnered with Underdog Fantasy Football. This is the best app for fantasy contests. They are running daily contests for the NBA, NHL, and more. You can join the RBB crew on Underdog by using the promo code RBB. It will get you a 100% match on your first deposit and help us grow. All right. Running backs are weak, but wide receivers definitely are not. Matt, kick us off with a couple of guys, a few guys that you like.
Yeah. So obviously the top guys, we don't even need to mention because everybody likes them and they should because they're amazing. As far as that next tier of kind of Brian Thomas, Ladd, Worthy, Troy Franklin, Adonai, I like Ladd a ton. I know that the college production is not there, but man, he is such a filthy route runner. Every single time I turn on the tape, he just pops. It's like, wow, he really manipulates the defense. He gets open. He creates separation. He's got good ball skills, very sticky hands. I mean, he's not the biggest guy. He doesn't have the biggest catch radius, probably not a contested catch dude, but he's very reliable in terms of catching the football. And then the yards after catch, nobody talks about that with him. He's incredible after the catch. One of a very few wide receivers in this class that actually is a difference maker after the catch. And he's not just a slot guy. I mean, he's really fast. He played on the outside at Georgia more than he played in the slot, and he won deep down the field. He's not just this short intermediate kind of slant runner. Like I just think he's totally misprofiled by a lot of people, and he's a fantastic player. And I'm really excited to draft him kind of towards the back end of the first round. I feel really comfortable doing that. And then real quick, I'll just mention two of the guys that you can get later rounds that I'm really excited about. Javon Baker, I think, has star upside in the NFL, and I'm taking shots on him in round two all day long. And then Jalen McMillan, you can usually get in rounds three or four. You know, he's a guy that I have graded higher than Ricky Pearsall, who I like. I've got him graded. He's a very, very good route runner. So Jalen McMillan is somebody that for me, he is a slot. He's a little bit more limited. The upside's maybe not there, but he looks like a starting NFL caliber wide receiver to me. And if I can get that in round three or four, I'm pretty excited.
My only comment, on Ladd McConkey is you don't need to be a contested catch guy when you're standing 2 yards away from the guy that's trying to cover you because he creates that much separation. So I'm okay with that. I love him too. We all have him on the list. You agree, Dwight, on Jalen McMillan. Anything more you want to add on either of those guys?
No, Ladd, I love seeing the community come around on him, although it kind of sucks because he's not a value anymore, I don't think. Not like he was a month ago. Right. So it's kind of nice to see that, though. And the same with McMillan, I think that he didn't get as many opportunities as Washington as he should have. He was injured. He didn't miss time. But he's a guy that's going to take a little bit of time, I think, to get the speed of the NFL game. And I see he just does a lot of things really well. And then I wanted to add Malik Washington, just a guy that I absolutely love that I'm grabbing in later in rookie drafts. He's a guy that's built like a running back. He's like 5'10", 210, 215, something like that. And the guy just reminds me of Debo. I hate saying that, but, you know, they give him the ball in short distance, you know, in the open spaces close to the line, makes people miss, runs people over, and just a really fun guy to watch play. Might struggle to find the right fit in the NFL and the draft capital, but I absolutely love watching his tape. So those are three guys that really pop for me.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, I had Brian Thomas Jr. as a guy that I really like. I think he gets overlooked because of the other offensive weapons in that offense. But Matt, you have him as a guy that you are fading. What don't you like about Brian Thomas Jr.?
So first of all, I don't dislike Brian Thomas Jr. Let me be clear about that. It's a cost
thing.
You
hate his guts and everything he stands for.
It says that
don't you
right
put
there
that
on
evil
the sheet,
on me, Ricky Bobby. No, it's a cost thing. It's a cost thing. I just think, like, to me, he's a little bit more raw than some of these other guys, a little bit more of a project. His route running is less refined. Particularly, I mean, he's got a good release off the line against press coverage, but at the stem of his route, I don't think he's as snappy, sinking his hips, getting in and out of his breaks as any of these other guys in that tier. And in general, I just, the size speed guys, it's not the profile that I chase. Most of the time people get burnt falling in love with, oh, he's 6'3" and he ran a 4.4 whatever, like that. That's cool. But route running to me is really what wins and gets you PPR fantasy points. And I definitely see a lot of upside with Brian Thomas Jr. Like, he could be one of the best players in this class when everything's said and done. The draft capital seems like it's probably going to be there. There's a lot to like there. And I'm not saying that he's like last year, Quentin Johnston, I was completely like, fade him, fade him. There's these glaring red flags. I'm not saying that with Brian Thomas Jr. I really like, there's flashes of route running there that excite me. It's just not consistent enough. The ball skills, pretty solid. Like, he's not got the issues that Johnston had last year with the ball skills. There's flashes of yards after the catch. But at LSU, he was mostly used as a deep threat. Not a very well-rounded route tree. He might, you know, he shows flashes that he could win short to intermediate, but he didn't do it a lot in college. So I don't dislike him. I've just got more question marks on him than the other guys going in that same range. And after the combine, Brian Thomas is like the consensus wide receiver 4. That's just way too high for me. I would rather take Ladd. I would rather take Troy Franklin. I would rather take Adonai Mitchell. There's just a lot of guys that I would draft over Brian Thomas in that range. And I like him. It's just the cost has gotten outrageous.
So you mentioned Adonai Mitchell as a guy you prefer. Dwight, I see that you feel that people are too much in love with him. Tell us more.
Same thing for Brian Thomas. I just think that, like, almost the same exact things he said are things that I worry about with Adonai. I worry about, on tape, I think he's lazy. I don't see the effort to be, to, I mean, his physical, he should be a beast. I mean, he really should be. And I just remember watching on tape, every time I'd watch Texas, it was like, who is that guy loping down the field? And it was freaking Adonai Mitchell. He didn't wow me at all. And then to see the way he tested at the combine, I was like, wow, that's pretty freaking impressive. You know, he should be, all the traits are there. So why doesn't it show on tape? Like, the tape didn't match the traits for me. So, yeah. And then the cost is way up. I routinely see him at the end of first in rookie drafts, and I just, no, not gonna do it. Nope, hard pass.
Yeah, I want to speak to that a little bit because I would have felt the same way in a lot of ways. And I actually, so when I initially studied his tape, and we talked about him on my other podcast with the Couch Scouts, and I said he looks slow to me. And then that was before the combine, and then he runs the 4.3 whatever, and I was like, what? So right. I went back and watched it, and it's totally the effort thing. And he even admitted at the combine that he takes plays off. It's all over his tape. And some of them were infuriating. Like, there was one that was in the College Football Playoff semifinal and the play breaks down and Ewers is scrambling and Brian Thomas is just standing there. It's like, or not Brian Thomas, I'm sorry, Adonai Mitchell, just standing there. I mean, like, just break across the field, give your quarterback an option. He's not doing it. So, you know, that's frustrating to me. And then I went back and I gave a film score based on all these different attributes. Well, that film score doesn't account for effort. So if I see a lot of really good route running, I have to give him a high score. If I see some really good speed, I have to give him a high score. And so at the end of it, like, he had a really high tape score for me because I really think he's got the potential. Like, he's a really good route runner when he wants to be. He's really fast when he wants to be. He's got some of the best ball skills in the entire draft class. It just... he hasn't put it all together, and that speaks to like some of the that he didn't dominate in college the way that I would have wanted him to. But man, if he puts it all together at the NFL level, he really has superstar potential. I was shocked at how high my grade came out on him. But there's definitely, I totally agree with your concerns there, Dwight.
So sticking with Texas wide receivers, Dwight, you had Xavier Worthy on the list, and if memory serves, Matt, you really like Xavier Worthy. Maybe we can end it. We can end with this debate because I think it's a good one. You know, Xavier
nothing
Worthy.
Like, nothing like ignoring tight ends on a Devy show, right? Like, name a more iconic duo.
Let's be honest. It's Brock Bowers, Jatavion Sanders, and then if you guys listening want to shoot for another tight end, go right ahead. It's not last year. After those two, I want nothing else. I this is not the year to take a shot at a tight end.
I totally agree with that. I just think it's funny. Like, Devy shows are notorious for ignoring tight end, and that's what we're going to do tonight. So we're long on time. We're just going to skip tight ends. So
that's right. But back to Xavier Worthy, because I think this is good because he's right in that second tier, and it's an important tier because you've got, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., you've got Troy Franklin, you've got Worthy, you know, maybe a couple other guys depending on, you know, who likes what, right? So let's finish with Worthy.
Yeah. So I'll let you go first, Dwight. Share why you don't like him and then I'll jump in.
Yes. If you draft Xavier Worthy, the only tears you're going to have is being watching him lose on your fantasy football team as he scores 27 points 1 week, 2 the next, 4 the next, 3 the next, 6 the next, 18 the next. No, I'm not falling for it again. I'm sick and tired of these speed guys that come in here and just, I don't like his hands. I don't like his route running. I think he's basically a one trick pony and he's skinny at that. So I don't know. I just don't see enough of a developed receiver. I see just tons of red flags and someone's going to draft him at like pick 12. And someone's going to draft him freaking crazy early in your drafts this year. Freaking have fun. Enjoy your tears. I'm done.
Wow. sounds like we pivoted to Gabe Davis there for a second.
Pretty much.
Matt, what do you like? Because I'm pretty sure I've heard you talk very positively about his route running.
You have heard me talk very positively about him. But, and this is interesting that this comes up tonight because – I actually just rewatched his tape this week to give him a film score. And I'm a little lower on him than I was. And so here's what I mean by that, because I will disagree with Dwight on some points. I like his route running a lot. I think he's more than just a speed guy. And some of the twitchiness that he shows in and out of his breaks and the hip fluidity, he's so much more than just a John Ross. I really believe that. But, and this is why I really love that I'm doing the actual like numerical grading this year, because I think it can save me from myself in some ways, because you watch the tape and I'm a sucker for route running and I love his route running and you see the speed and you see the yak and all this stuff. And so I was really high on him and I think I kind of glossed over some of the limitations that's there. And so when I went back and just to give you a little insight into my process, I've got 12 categories that I'm giving a grade on, and five of them, hands, contested catch, catch radius, body control, and physicality. That's five out of the 12. I can't give him above an average grade in any of those things. Just being totally honest, like, he's not very physical. He's not very strong. Play strength is not there. He doesn't have a great catch radius. He doesn't have great body control. His hands are very questionable. He's not a contested catch guy. So, and ball skills are really important. So it's really easy for me if I'm just watching the tape without giving grades to just totally fall in love with Worthy, because he's got more nines and tens in his grades than anybody else. I mean, I gave him 10 for speed, 10 for burst, 9 for yak, 9 for quickness. I gave him an 8.5 for route running. Like, there's the strengths are really, really strong. But I really think I was kind of glossing over his weaknesses a little too much. And so when I put all this into the film grade, he came out at about a 74.7 for me, which, you know, you're not familiar with my grade, so that means nothing to you. But that's lower than Adonai Mitchell, which shocked me. That's lower than Javon Baker, which shocked me. I'm almost positive it's going to end up being lower than Ladd McConkie. So I just was like, wow, I thought I was super high on Xavier Worthy, and maybe I need to pump the brakes a little bit on my own hype for him. He was my wide receiver 4, and I don't think he's going to be when all is said and done. I still like the player, but there's some limitations for sure. He's so much more dependent on falling in the right scheme and the right fit than some of these other guys are, and that worries me a little bit. So,
all right. Well, that is great. My final just outgoing thought on wide receiver fades is I will have 0 Keon Coleman. I don't trust him. If he ends up being great, then it's fine. It's a miss. Won't be my last. Definitely not my first. So, guys, thank you so much. This was awesome. Hopefully, Dwight, you can join us again in the next few weeks. I know you got the itch to do some podcasting, and man, you can scratch that with us anytime you want.
Absolutely.
So, we'll be here every week we can. So good to hear and see you, even though you're a little bit fuzzy on the camera right now. Is that a dolphin? What am I looking at? maybe it's a good thing we're not on YouTube. All right. For Matt and Dwight, my name is Skip. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you have not already, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on whichever podcast app you are using. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss any of the RBB action. Have an awesome week and weekend, and we will see you next week. Take care, everyone.